What is going on, everyone? Mike Singer and Tim Hyde from Blue and Gold with this week's Notre Dame football show here on YouTube and for podcast audience, Pod Like a Champion, as we have it titled. I hope everyone is doing well. It's been a crazy, chaotic few weeks, but we're back on our Wednesday slot, even if we had to start at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time this week. Mr. Hyde, how are you doing?
I'm ready to roll. I'm really excited for tonight's show. So I got a great guest, and looking forward to that. So it's going to be fun. We got some fun topics that you've brought up. So let's just jump right into it and enjoy a nice Wednesday night with everybody.
I hope you recruiting nuts are ready to go, because unless we get some super chats that want to talk about the current roster, we are talking all recruiting tonight. And as Tim mentioned, our guest for tonight's show, Cincinnati Archbishop Moeller, class of 2024 cornerback and Notre Dame commits, Carson Hobbs. If you guys haven't, read interviews with Hobbs or heard from him in various media appearances, you guys will really like him. So let us know where you're watching from, what you're drinking, what you're up to. Let us know in the comments if you're with us live. If you're listening via podcast, please leave us a kind review. We always would appreciate that wherever you're listening to the show. And folks, please do head over to blueandgold.com. Our current promotions we have going on are $1 for 3 months, or if you want to go ahead and take the plunge for a year, it's $49.99. So please do consider that. Before we really dive into tonight's show, Tim, we are going to hear from our sponsors over at Rogue Shop. We do appreciate them for sponsoring our shows here at blueandgold.com. It's the husband and wife outfit, as Mr. Rogue and his wife Shara craft cannabis farmers who specialize in small batch sustainable plant medicine, a true holistic type of small business. They farm and grow everything themselves and do everything by hand. Their website to visit is rogueshop.com. They sell everything from CBD, THC edibles, tinctures, smokables, bath salts, pain creams, topicals, vapes, candles, soaps, and more. Their website also has a 24/7 chat function where you can ask Mr. Rogue and Char any questions you may have. Go check out rogueshop.com. That's R-O-G-U-shop.com. If you have issues sleeping, chronic pain, and or anxiety, stress, and you can use promo code Blue and Gold to get 10% off your order. Again, that's code Blue and Gold, one word, to get 10% off your order. All right, Tim. So we've done individual videos about this already, so we're not going to dive into the commitments of Stiles Prescott and Kedron Young, but I did kind of just want to get a general overview of the class. As you can see in the middle of the screen here, they have the top independent class in the country of all the independent schools. I mean, it's been a while since Notre Dame signed that. I'm joking. Number 8 class in the country per the On3 industry class ranking, which I can touch on that if folks are kind of like, wait, Notre Dame's 3 on 24/7 and 2 on Rivals. Why are they 8 on On3? Why does On3 hate us? I can explain that, but 19 commitments, 3 receivers, 3 offensive linemen. You got a tight end, 2 running backs, a quarterback, 4 defensive linemen, 2 linebackers, 3 defensive backs. I think that's the rundown. Just thoughts on this class right now after picking up those 2 commitments this week.
Oh, it's solid. It's solid. It's a solid class. We're tipping on 20 already, and we're just getting June rolling, which is crazy to think about. And, one thing I let go up to the top, Mike, on the roster, the little number up there, the 92.34. Notre Dame is, if they close on some of these dudes here, this will be 3 consecutive classes of hitting in the 92s. Never been done at Notre Dame. The only class ever to hit 92, when I say ever, I'm going Brian Kelly. Right. I'm talking about 1987 and stuff like that. So I'm just basically talking the modern times, all right? And just basically going from Kelly from 2010. It was the 2013. So I know people love to say this is 3-star U, and everyone acts like it's just nothing but a load of them. It is pretty balanced class, a lot of positions in this class, and that per-player rating, once again, it's higher than last year's class. So it's crazy. And they have a legitimate shot, which I know you've been writing about a ton, Mike, and you and Kyle, about who's still to visit and the guys that they legitimately have a shot in, or they're in the top 2 for some big time top 100 type football players. So this could close, and I mean, it could be the number 12 class or it could be number four. I mean, it's that type of a middle ground right now. So, but with, you know, with Young outstanding, one thing I looked at, you know, I started looking at the, you know, the state rankings, and Texas, obviously great football. He's the fourth highest ranked, running back in the state. I found that fascinating because that's what I was like, oh, how many running backs are in Texas? A ton, as we know. So he's the fourth highest ranked running back. Same as Jadarian Price, by the way. So I found that pretty interesting. And obviously you just go off his film. Oh, he's a stud. The running back room is piling up. And with Prescott, I know we talked about him in our video the other day, is he was someone Harry wanted. Rudolph obviously has stayed on him. And a ton of big time programs have just been trying to rally him as of late to try and, you know, get him to visit and whatnot. He's staying in state. So it's good to get him because they didn't offer a lot of linemen this year. That's the other thing. There's not like they don't offer 25 linemen. Like, you know, they did what about 52 linebackers or whatnot. So linemen, very small group. It was because they've been signing five every year. So you knew, you know, as you wrote about a few months ago, the goal was to get three. They got three, and now go get the big enchilada and Kirby Lambert and
the big enchilada.
And wrap it up and call this one heck of a class when it's all said and done, especially at the O-line.
Yeah. A few comments here. Andrew says, we take CJ Carr and Cam Williams for granted since they commit so early. They could be transformational players. I say that all the time. Seriously, like we do that. It's all about the next shiny toy. But, you know, when you look at Notre Dame football the past decade, you know, we'll go to the 2010, right? I feel like in Notre Dame football, we kind of break it up by some of these decades, like Brian Kelly and on. What's been Notre Dame's biggest problem? Or maybe not problem, but the biggest reason that they haven't won a national title? And it's the quarterback play, right? I mean, if we can all agree that's going to be really difficult for Notre Dame to go into, you know, the South and beat out Alabama and, you know, LSU and some of these schools and stuff for those top talent, even Ohio State's like, it's basically like Ohio State's in the South the way that they recruit. If Notre Dame's not going to be able to go pound for pound for some of these Southern talents, just, you know, given what Notre Dame is as a university, they have to get the elite quarterback to elevate those around them. So you get a really darn good one, CJ Carr, and you hope that he can be that kind of man. I know that's kind of opening up a whole different discussion.
But I mean, I'll say, off the, you know, with that, with Cam Williams, is I'm kind of the other side. I'm a big believer in the wide receivers. It's like, you know, when's the last time Notre Dame just threw a little slip screen and the guy went 75 yards?
Yeah.
So it's like those type of plays. And I was chatting with someone on the message board today because, you know, it's always about quarterback. And I'm like, well, the last time Notre Dame played Alabama, you know, Deontay Smith, I know he's a Heisman winner, he's a stud, but the guy scored on a bubble, a 3-yard slant, and an 8-yard crossing route. So all touchdowns in the first half. So when was the last time Notre Dame had a guy could catch a bubble and just break ankles and go right down the sideline and beat everybody? So it's that. And Notre Dame is piling up some receivers in these last two classes especially. And get those dudes on the field as soon as they get here. So very, you know, very exciting moving down the road here.
All right. I saw some more questions and comments I want to pop up. Was Scott just out of Georgia? Yep. 5-star defensive lineman from Chicago, St. Ignatius. Justin Scott was at Georgia last weekend for his official visit. I saw a headline, you know, where it was something, I think it was out of Rivals. I think the Georgia Rivals site said, you know, Scott has Georgia on top. And I don't know if that was per their sources or from what Scott had said, but that battle will continue on. I wouldn't react too hard, no matter what.
I saw an actual quote on an On3 article where his quote was, Georgia is up there with Miami and Notre Dame.
Yeah, that was like, I thought that was pretty encouraging. Yeah.
So Notre Dame is not even getting an official visit, and
they're already one of the top two schools, which exactly. I think we've been reporting at blueandgold.com. When I say I think, I know.
Yes.
I posted in the Gold Standard a couple weeks ago that I was like, Notre Dame sources feel that this is an Irish versus Miami battle. I think Scott kind of confirmed that. But then he goes to official visit to the two-time defending champs. Of course, you know, Georgia's going to make a big move. Of course. Ebbs and flows of the recruiting process. I wouldn't be too worried about it right now.
Yeah.
Trash drops a $10 super chat. Really appreciate that. Trash, your name is not accurate, my friend. He says, if you could change one Notre Dame loss to a win, which game, how, why, and what impact would that have? For me, it's Clemson 2015. We score the points we needed because 2015 was so was special in stops. 2016. I'll take the Bama championship game. You know, 2012. I'll take that one.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm an old timer. I mean, as soon as I read the first sentence, I'm like, don't even need to read anymore. You want to take one Notre Dame loss? I wonder if that hole's still in the wall. It's 93 BC, but they're a national champ. I'm still claiming that title. I don't care what anyone says. So, but it's that one. That, I mean, for all those guys, you know, I'd see a guy, Tim B, wrote 90, yeah, BC.
Yeah, everyone says 93.
All those guys that were around watched that game, man. It's the comeback. They scored, you know, the huge comeback in the fourth quarter. It was a sleepwalking game. And they got hot, came back in the fourth quarter. Pete Burchis has the interception go right through his hands with a minute to go. And it's like, oh, they would have won the game. And a couple plays later, the field goal.
Yeah. Tim B says, I was 10 and cried for BC 93. Uh-huh. Naptown Cooler says, Tim claiming the 93 title is great.
Yeah. 12 seconds on that. You got to claim it. They beat Florida State. Miami beat Notre Dame in 89. It's like, give me a break. This whole it's head to head. Everyone knows Bobby Bowden got it. Love Bobby Bowden. Hell of a football coach. He's a Mount Rushmore type guy for the things he did at Florida State. He's passed. Notre Dame needs to put it on the play like a champion sign. Someone start that movement online and get the Dr. Jack Swarbrick and let's change that thing.
Yeah, I'm 29 years old and was, you know, a baby when that game happened in 93. That was literally the year I was born in August. So I can't speak to that. But I have to go with 2012 because that's not me. And everyone says, yeah, we need to count the 93 title. Few more comments here. Trash, really do appreciate the super chat. Tim also says, I think you guys are the most consistent and balanced Notre Dame podcast. We might not be. If based on the past month, most consistent in actually doing the show or what day of the week or time we do it. Yeah. But usually you can count on Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern. But I like to think, we're pretty consistent.
Shows. Yeah, I was going to say, Mike, you got your radio posts. You have your other stuff. You know, in the spring, there's five videos a day with Tyler or whatever splicing.
We do a lot of cool stuff.
There's
super proud.
Believe me, I've gone back trying to find stuff, and I'm like, Mike, there's enough videos on this thing as I'm trying to scroll to try and find a couple certain things. So, yeah, there's a lot of content on the YouTube page. That's a given.
All right, and then we get a couple comments. Whatever happened to Goolsby? And then rumor has it Goolsby broke up with Mike and does Alabama content now. Care to comment? The thing about Goolsby is one of my former bosses back in the day told me that you do like Sunday nights are huge for YouTube shows. So I kind of was like, all right, Goolsby, we're going to do Goolsby on Sunday night. But then a lot of times Sunday nights are not good for me in the off season to do some of these shows. So I just got to get with Goolsby. I'm just gonna shoot Goolsby. Goolsby actually hurt me yesterday, but yeah, we need to get Goolsby back on. Goolsby is still
it's off on season, our
team, as far as I know.
Exactly. It's the off season. I mean, we're sitting here sometimes like, hey, what do you want to talk about? I don't know. It's June 5th. What do you want to talk about?
All right.
So things of that nature. It's all good.
I just texted Goolsby. Let's get you on a show soon. I miss you.
Yes. There you go. There you go.
All right, a couple other comments. Domer Wop says, Tim, what room are you in? I miss the dark wood and maroon window.
This is the home office. Yeah, the boat is actually getting some work done right now.
It literally is
getting work.
He says Singer's on a COVID cruise. I mean, maybe, you know, I was at Tim's place. You know, maybe that was the boat. And then Naptown Cooler says, Messi to Miami today. Mike, I'm gutted. I'm pumped about it. I'm very happy to have Lionel Messi playing in America. Are you kidding me? I think this is fantastic news. But all right, great comments. But yeah, Tim, before we bring in Carson Hobbs here in a minute, biggest need, I would say it's probably safety the rest of the way. I mean, they only have one safety commit. They want to take at least a couple more. But would you agree with me there? Just based on needs, if you want to go based on like talent needs, then probably go on.
When I'm thinking need, it's like you got 19 players, you got the portal, you could always use. I want to see, my need is for Marcus Freeman to get some of these big guys. I want to see Marcus Freeman bring home a couple of these guys, however it works. You know, and you got a bunch of Catholic school kids, you know, Villamosa out of Bosco. You got rushing out of South Point Catholic. Obviously, Chicago Catholic with Scott. Catholic Memorial outside of Boston with Gerby Lambert. I want to see him go knock on the priest's door and say, help me out and get some of these guys from these schools. That's what I want to see. But, yeah, if you're looking for one position, close out with some with a few of these safeties that are just outstanding athletes with Johnson and Miles you've talked about, which I went and rewatched his film.
Oliver Miles, yeah.
My guy, he's all quarterback, and the guy's fast as could be. Yeah. He's an outstanding athlete.
Yeah, Miles officially visiting Notre Dame this weekend. We will talk about Notre Dame's big official visitor weekend later in the show. And speaking of one of those big official visitors this weekend, and speaking of Catholic school kids.
Yes.
Yeah, we're our special guest for this week's show, Carson Hobbs, who was formerly a South Carolina commit, grew up a big Fighting Irish fan, and Notre Dame flipped him from the Gamecocks last fall. Carson, I like the hat, man. Looks good on you. How you doing, my friend?
Good. How are you guys?
We are good. We are good. So let me ask you, you got your Notre Dame official visit this upcoming weekend.
For sure.
Do you pack? Like, how much do you bring? I mean, you bring a big suitcase? Like,
oh, yeah.
How does that work?
We bring a suitcase. I'm still packing polo, pants, khakis, polo shirts. I got to find me some nice dress shoes to wear for the dinners. I've been packing all day.
Yeah, I'm curious because how much going into the official visit? Okay, so you're locked in. You're 100% committed. There's no like, hey, if I'm Coach Freeman, I don't have to think. I need to make sure Carson Hobbs is locked in. You know,
right.
Like this is just a fun trip for you to hang out with the coaches, hang right. out with your bros, recruit some of the commits. So for you going into it, are you just thinking like, man, what are we doing? Like, I need to make sure I got all the outfits ready to go. Like, yeah. What's your mindset going in the official visit?
I was just like, I'm trying to make sure that it is the best possible experience I could ever have, honestly. And not only that, but also trying to get some more commits coming up this weekend. So, I mean, I've been packing, I've been getting my stuff ready, but the reality is it's really not just an official visit for me, but it's a big recruiting weekend. So I'm trying to focus on the other players and see what guys we can get landed. I heard you guys talking about we need some more safeties. And you know, they got another kid coming from, I think, Texas. We got to try to get him, right? We got a couple guys coming in that, you know, it's not only about me no more. I'm going to have a great time no matter what regardless, but we got to get some more guys on board.
Yeah. So CJ Carr committed to Notre Dame. He was the third commit at the time. And now if you look, he's those two first guys decommitted. So now it's like CJ's kind of the first commit. You got the, you know, the quarterback face, you know, the super high ranking CJ Carr, kind of this outward face of the class. But I think people are sleeping on Carson Hobbs as another face of the class.
Right.
I mean, a handsome young man, very active on social media. I mean, the video with you and your teammate who's committed to Michigan, you guys kind of
me and Jordan
going back and forth. That was fantastic. Tell me about your role recruiting for Notre Dame. Cause I think people kind of, and guys like me will talk about CJ, but we don't give you enough credit. You know, how often are you recruiting? What does that look like?
I try to do it as much as possible, try to be the biggest face. Regardless of rankings, a baller is always going to be a baller, and that's the mentality I have. I don't really, you know, focus on what goes on those social media. I know my game, and I know what I can produce at any level. And I feel like, you know, I know what CJ and all of them can produce at any level, too. That's why we're all going to the same place, and we're all, I would say, elite athletes. So being able to, you know, help out as much as I can, just, you know, another voice from anybody, it don't matter whether it be a coach or a parent, will always stick to somebody. You know, some things in life, people just don't forget what you say. So some of the times and the connections and bonds you make with a lot of these recruits and players, I feel like just in general, that leads to building relationships and that helps us get more commits. So the more comfortable people feel with you and your teammates, the quicker, the faster you can beat all the other schools out to get them committed.
Carson Hobbs, I mean, you can do whatever you want. You're like, and you're a very smart man, but I kind of personally, selfishly, I hope you get into communications and you like take my job one day. You're very good in front of the camera. Do you think about media after football? What do you want to do after football?
I would definitely like to call games after football. Come back, call Notre Dame games. I want to do something crazy like that. But I think I have The voice, I mean, a lot of people have told me that so far, but I'm still working on it. I'm young. I have plenty of time to decide, but I think I'll definitely have to do something with communications.
Tim, do you have something you want to ask?
Yeah, I mean, I'm listening to Carson, and I'm like, can you tell Coach Freeman, because Freeman's an Ohio guy, you're an Ohio guy, can you take that energy and give the guys a quick little speech before the Buckeye game?
Oh, of course.
That got me happy. I'm listening to you. I was like, man, this guy's ready to roll, man. It's awesome. Speaking of that real quick, are you going to that game, or do you, got, are you guys playing? Okay, gotcha. Yes, sir. Yeah, I hadn't looked at your schedule yet. I pulled up last year's. I didn't find this year's schedule for Moeller, so I was like, yeah, Hop's going to be able to go to that one. So,
oh, yeah, I'll be there. First row.
I'm excited. Well, my question is I'm a huge fan of Cincinnati Catholic League. Right. And I just want to hear you just talk about, because it's big-time football. Notre Dame's had tons of guys come out of Cincinnati Catholics and obviously go NFL. And Moeller's had a long line of greats that have gone to Notre Dame and played. So, I just wanted to hear you talk about it. I think it's one of the five best leagues in the entire country of football, producing players, right, competition, all that. I just wanted to hear you talk about how that's prepared you for Notre Dame.
Not only has it prepared me, but I think it's kind of showed, all of the country, the kind of athletes we're producing. It's year after year you see in the GCL, whether it's been the 2018 state championship LaSalle team or the 2019 LaSalle team, or even like the teams from Elder and X, we're producing guys year after year. And even though we're in Ohio, I still believe that the talent that they produce in Florida and Georgia, if we were able to play year round, I to be honest, I think we'd be better than all of them. And we can still compete with them being able to only play in, the fall, not being able to do 7-on-7s. But the GCL in general, I can go out of state and tell people I go to Cincinnati Moeller and everybody will be understood and recognize where I go. So when I started doing that, I realized wow, this is a blessing to have, because not only am I recognized in Cincinnati, but I'm recognized everywhere I go.
All right. You know what I think would be fun? I'm guessing you know what this is, Carson.
Oh, yeah.
Does this look familiar to you?
Yeah, it looks pretty
familiar.
I don't
remember what we said about you when you committed and we did a video talking about it, but Carson, why don't you break down your film? What is Notre Dame getting in Carson Hobbs?
Well, see right here, that's a little ball hog play, ain't nothing too much. But I think, you line me up against 4-2, 4-3, 4-4. I'm going to lock them down at all times. And I think that's one of my best attributes. And I found that out, after my sophomore year, was my first year playing. Like this guy right here, Anthony Brown, number one receiver in the state of Ohio. Me and him on that island, I was at nickel for the first time of the season, and we just got to go make plays. So I think like that, I'm going to be able to do that for the Irish year in and year out. So I just hope that, early on I get to show my attributes and show my skills and my speed of how good I can play man-to-man coverage and press.
Tim, what do you see on his tape?
Yeah, I mean, I remember when he committed, the first thing we talked about is how tall is this guy? It's like he just looks.
Carson, can you answer?
Yeah.
About 6'1", 6'1".
Yeah, because you play like you're 6'4" out there. So no, I remember when you committed, how how excited your film was. Obviously the press and just once again, I'm a big fan of where guys come from and where you're coming from, Cincinnati Moeller, and just the entire region is, it's great football. It's right. Guys that know how to show up, do the work, 6 a.m. workouts, 5:30 a.m. workouts,
even today.
Exactly.
Today.
That's what you do. You watch film extra, you doing it at night after watching homework, doing your homework and things of that nature. It's built into you. And I think those things matter when you go to a, big program like Notre Dame. It's, what to do for each and every single day for your next 4 years.
Right.
So in my line of work, Carson, you hear certain stories about recruits and I'm like, yeah, that guy is going to be a fan favorite at Notre Dame. For you, I 100% feel like that, a big part because of your story,
right?
Growing up a diehard Notre Dame fan, even had the early South Carolina commitment, but I mean, Notre Dame flipping a player from the SEC, that's, I mean, who's
it was within 6 hours too. I think that was huge. I didn't give any other school a chance. I just said, I called South Carolina, said I'm decommitting. Within the next 5 minutes, I committed Notre Dame, but I didn't post it till the next day. But this was a 10-minute process.
I remember when you committed, because there's a lot of commitments that a player on June 1st tweets out, hey, I'm going to be committing in a week from now, and I'm going to have a big announcement. And then Carson Hobbs is like, no, it's like 8 in the morning or something. So
it was like 9:15.
I didn't appreciate that. I'm kidding. I mean, you just couldn't wait. You just couldn't wait to commit. Like, you just like, man, I can't sit on this.
When you talk to a guy like Chad Bowden, it's kind of hard not to. I mean, it's like he fires you up in general, but then I think coming from being a fan, I didn't want to wait on longer. I wanted to get over it. I wanted to get it done now. I could have waited for 24/7 to be able to go live on there or on some, but I said, you know what? I don't even want to go through all that. I just want to commit. I'm excited.
All right, we had a comment from Wicked Bronco Productions. He says, what part of seeing what Freeman did with Benjamin Morrison at a true freshman mean for your decision? I know when you had committed, I think it was right after the Clemson game, actually, when Ben Morrison had what, a pick or two picks in that game, I want to say, including the pick six. And have you met Ben Morrison?
Yes, I have. And not only seeing that, but that was another huge reason. Seeing how well and how, you know, progressively they – I guess have grown to be able to play their freshmen on the field and then teach them just the game that quick. Ben Morrison came in as a summer enrollee and ended up starting the last, what, 8-9 games of the year. And, you know, being a freshman all-American with 6 picks, he had an incredible season. And when I see stuff like that, it's like, okay, that's the school you want to play for, a school that gives young guys a shot, doesn't make you always wait your turn, put the best players on the field at all times, and then – it was kind of a motivation thing to go in there and try to be the next Ben Morrison. Like, all respect to him. He's a great player, and I could not see him being anything lower than a first-round draft pick. So,
Carson, you had a great junior season. What are your goals for senior season, right? Recruitment's out of the way. You know where you're going. You get to focus on senior season without any distractions of recruiting. What do you really want to get accomplished? And from a team perspective and personal perspective?
So, I'll start with my team. I would love to get a state championship, and, you know, it's going to be hard, but I think if – you know, we have a lot of young talent. We lost, I would say, majority of our team that were seniors, and I think last year we had a really, really good shot at doing it, but we didn't get the job done, obviously, so I still got one more year to go out there and prove myself with my team, and hopefully we can get it done. My personal goals is I don't want to let up one catch in man-to-man coverage, 15 pass breakups, 3 picks, 0 touchdowns, let up in zone, nothing. But I don't want one catch level in man-to-man coverage. If they catch like a little zone, cover 3 curl, it's cool. I'll come make a tackle. But in man-to-man coverage, not one catch.
I like it. I got 2 more things. Then, Tim, if you have anything for Carson, I'm curious, how much would you say your life has changed since you committed to Notre Dame? You could take this anywhere you want it. But, thoughts on that?
Tremendously. So even the, you know, livelihood, I would say – as being a kid, I feel like just the standard of Notre Dame, once you commit, it kind of puts an impression on you as what kind of character you would like to be. And I kind of found myself when I committed more, okay, this is what I want to do in my life. And I don't want to really focus on no outside distractions. So I cut off hanging with my friends on the weekends, and I really started taking the time to focus on my grades, which I managed to make first honors, second honors, back to back after committing. So it was like, it was an eye opener of really, you know, you can forget all the partying and stuff now. I know what I'm here to do, and I know why I committed to Notre Dame. Smaller school on campus, has great academics, will set you up for the rest of your life with a degree, but let you play at the best level of college football possible. So that was kind of my goal, and I want to implement that before I go so I don't go in there shocked, right? I'm practicing these habits now. Just getting my homework turned in on time, getting to practice early, being a leader on and off the field. And then I feel like, you know, having them traits, you know, that's something people can't take away from you. So being able to use those as a high school kid and have the people around me see what type of person I am as more of a role model, not just a guy that everybody, you know, everybody wants to go out with and be with. Like, nah, I'm here for business and I'm here to get work done. So I feel like after all that was said and done, it was really probably the greatest decision I made in my life.
This is an impressive young man. Just last thing for me, Carson, you got the official visit this weekend. You mentioned like you guys are still doing all this practicing right now. What does the rest of the summer look like for you? Like, what are you up to until the start of your senior year?
I'm grinding. I'm training 3 days a week, and then we got football 5 days a week. 7-on-7 season's coming up. But After the official, oh no, I'm taking a trip to the Dominican Republic June 1st through June 7th, going to Punta Cana. So we're taking a little family vacation with our football break. I'm gonna try to get back on campus definitely, you know, some other time this summer. But other than that, it's really just a grind prepare for my senior season, help the younger guys out and work with them. So we can obviously try to reach this goal for the fourth chance we get to reach the state championship, even though we didn't get it done the last three times. I feel like, hey, I said it last year, this is going to be the year. So we got to keep the mentality right. And other than that, just staying focused and focusing on football and grades.
Tim, do you have anything for him?
Yeah, real quick. I mean, I just love listening. I mean, yeah, I love hearing you talk, Carson. I'm really, really excited for you. And I'm a firm believer in, you know, we talk about college and all those things, but you're going to sit back and you're going to talk about your high school memories probably more than anything, because high school, something about high school football is awesome. You know,
right.
I can still talk to my buddies, and you got the most, you know, one of the most unique relationships for the rest of your life with that guy going to Michigan. So you're going to have so much fun smack talking the bets that are going to be coming down the road with you and Marshall. So
yep.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. I wish you well.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, Carson, you're the man. I appreciate you. Go get back to packing. Tell your pops I said what's up. I mean, I'm sure Daniel's watching anyway. So
he is, probably.
What's up, Daniel? Yeah, Carson, I appreciate you, man. I'm sure we'll catch up after the visit.
All right, sounds good. Have a great show. You guys be safe.
Have a great weekend.
All right, peace.
He's seriously awesome. The YouTube chat is loving him as well. John says, love this kid. Naptown, kid super impressive. Yes. You can tell Carson's very punctual and a very well-spoken man. Carson sounds like a future coach. This guy's super impressive. Nice work. Am I getting him on the show? So, Tim, you've heard me talk about this, like why I love covering Notre Dame so much. There's many, many reasons. Berkshire Yank, I'd like to buy 10% of this kid's future.
Oh, man.
My number one reason is the people that I get to interact with, mainly the kids. The kids are just fantastic. Carson Hobbs is one of my favorite recruits ever. I know I say that a lot, but I really mean it.
We've had some really good. I mean, yeah, we had Cam Williams on last year when he came in. We had CJ Carr. I remember Sam Pendleton. We chatted with him, a few others I know I'm forgetting, and they've all been so much fun. But seriously, I'm listening to Hobbs and I'm like, dude, you are going to be the hype machine when he comes to South Bend. I can't wait to see him run out of the tunnel and play. I mean, he was getting me fired up. So I'm really excited for him and his senior year and getting him to South Bend. So yeah, he's a ball of energy.
Special person. I told you guys before he got on, I was like, you guys are going to love him. And I mean, he grew up, and we didn't get into it too much, but he did grow up a diehard Notre Dame fan. And, you know, I remember he was committed to South Carolina. He visited for, I want to say, the Marshall or the Cal game last year. And, you know, when you're my job, right, as a recruiting writer, and I like to look out for the kids. Like, I don't want to ask them questions that, you know, could put them in an awkward situation. Like, he's committed to South Carolina, but I obviously – and he picked up the offer following one of those – the visit that he took in September for one of those games. And I just remember asking him, like, hey, like, you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but how does this kind of impact things with South Carolina? And – you know, he was like, yeah, I mean, I love Notre Dame. You know, basically just kind of gushed about Notre Dame. And I was like, yeah, this kid's going to be flipping to the Irish in no time. And you guys heard him say it himself. He was like, it was a very quick thing for him to go from South Carolina to Notre Dame. He knew where he wanted to be. So, yeah. Any other thoughts, Tim?
No, I remember that because, yeah, that was one of those early morning commits, right? Where he just like went out and you're like, hey, are you free? It's like this happened so fast.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, you heard him when he was talking, the excitement he had. He's like, what the heck do I need to wait for? Let's go. And he's good. They got some, I mean, him and Leonard Moore coming out of Texas are too long. I mean, you see it on film just how crazy long he is. It's like super impressive. So can't wait to see these guys get here and, man, I know he's gonna have a great weekend with those guys and working on those uncommitted guys. So he's definitely could easily be a voice for the for this program.
Yeah, and I would again say that he's kind of already been a very good ambassador for Notre Dame's recruiting class. Got a couple more things, big topics to continue on with the show. So from time to time, I'll just see things on Twitter and I'm like, I'm going to send this to Tim and we're going to talk about this. Cause I know if I send it to Tim, there's a receipt there and I can just go scroll up and find it. That's what I always do. When we prepare for the shows, I'll just scroll up in my text, be like, all right, what have I sent Tim? So this was an interesting one from Pete Sampson over at The Athletic. He says, forever interested. And this was June 6th. So that was just yesterday at 1:30. So right after Stiles Prescott commits, right? He says, forever interested in prospects the recruiting rankings industrial complex can't reconcile. On three rates, Stiles Prescott as the number 189 overall player and number 10 at his position. 24/7 sees three-star, number 36 at his position. Rival sees a low three-star ranked at the bottom of Notre Dame's class. He didn't mention ESPN. Prescott ended up getting ranked finally, which I don't really like. You guys will never hear me trash outlets, but ESPN is just so bad. With their rankings and recruiting, they just don't pay. They just don't give much effort to recruiting rankings, which is why it went from on three consensus where they were all equal to now ESPN only has 10% of the. It's now an industry ranking because it's not a true consensus. Because I mean, they just ranked a kid like this, and they did rank him a 4-star, number 33. What do they have him listed as? An offensive tackle. So number 33 offensive tackle in America. But Tim, I know you have done some research and stuff you had told me before we got on the show. So before I give my thoughts, I will, I'll hear from you on this.
Yeah. Just real quick. Cause it's the, I mean, it's like, oh, you know, why did this service do that service? I mean, there's basically four of them, right? So yeah, four of them, but you know, and people, cause on three's new and everyone likes to say it's this or that or this. So far, Notre Dame's got 19 commits. So just going over this year, Mike, 13 of the 19 on three has Notre Dame as their highest ranked guy.
Is really?
Yes. Yes.
13?
13 of them. I'm talking Cam Williams, Logan Thomas, Keith Young, Micah Gilbert. It's like you go right down the list. 13 of the 19 players on three, Notre Dame is ranked, or, you know, they're ranked highest on three.
Okay.
Which would probably blow, you know, people don't believe that, which is crazy. And there's a handful of two. The only ones where on three is ranked 4 out of 4 is on CJ Carr and Jack Larson. That's it. So that's the only two. And then I even went back last year, just real quick. Half of the class last year on three had the Notre Dame commits either 1 or 2. So half of the class last year was 1 or 2.
I love this.
Isn't that interesting?
I love this. But I don't know if this is really has to do with exactly what Pete tweeted, though.
No, I know. I was just looking at, you know, who, you know, who did what, you know, comparing the four, because everyone, I don't know if it was a dig at, I don't think it's a dig at someone, but it's the perception that all of Notre Dame guys are ranked low or ranked this, or certain, you know, people don't have Notre Dame guys high and things of that nature. And I was like, on three is like, the one place where Notre Dame guys are being ranked, I feel more properly. So I found that interesting just looking at them. But go ahead on your thoughts, and I'll jump off of
Yeah. No, I like it. I like it. I mean, obviously, I want on three to rank all of Notre Dame's guys a 5-star. It's great for business. But I mean, again, that's what all the rankings are. This discussion in business and fan fodder and message board talk, YouTube comments, podcast. You know, that's what it is. But going to the tweet, and I almost responded to this. I like Pete a lot, and I talk to him, you know, whenever I get to see him. We're both big Liverpool fans. But I wanted to respond, and I was like, you know what? I'm not going to say it on Twitter. I'm just going to – because I feel like it would come across as kind of a douchey comment. So I was going to say, because it's subjective, and just leave it – like, it's not – it's a subjective thing. Like, this is a great example of – thing it, this is it's not a science.
No, it's
four not different. Like, folks, you got to remember, you know, everyone's saying, and look, I agree with you that CJ Carr's ranking's too low, but it's almost as if everyone knows exactly what CJ Carr's going to be in college, and we don't know. We do not know. I mean, think about the That five-star quarterback from the Indy area a few years ago.
Hunter Johnson. Hunter Johnson. I mean, I went back, Mike, and I've done research the last 10 years on quarterbacks. I know, like, I mean, Hunter Johnson, they got Ian Book because they weren't even going to take Book because they were saving that spot for Hunter Johnson. They weren't even going to take a quarterback that year to show Hunter Johnson your guy. I went back and found so many articles that had all this stuff, and he fell in love with, I think he committed to Tennessee first and then Clemson, you know, so he's bounced, and then Northwestern, he's bounced all over the place and whatnot. But real quick on that, Mike, you know, when we talk about the services, I mean, even going back for the old guys like me, you know, been following Blue and Gold forever. So when, you know, the, you know, Tim Priester and Lou Somoji used to write, they would always quote, back then it was obviously Tom Lemming. Then you had Bobby Burton. Then you had, oh my God, there's another guy. It was Bobby Burton in the South. Someone who knows, there's a Louisiana guy who did the, who had a whole ranking system out of Louisiana who did nationals. Then you had the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, always came out with their top 50.
Yeah.
The best in the West. I'm a Long Beach, California guy, and Long Beach Press Telegram. The Seattle Times would just rank all the Rockies in the West. So you had all these spots that did all these things, and that's how you got your rankings. That's how Lou Holtz had four straight number ones based on these little, you know, guys that did their rankings back then. So it's all the same system. Now it's just a rating system online and people get to see it all.
Yeah. We have a lot of people on our message board from Chicago. So a lot of guys from Chicago who follow Notre Dame recruiting are very tied in and follow Notre Dame recruiting in Chicago. So I will get questions all of the time about, hey, Mike, why have we not offered so-and-so? And they're typically from Chicago. I mean, Alabama and Michigan and Ohio State would have offered this kid. Why is it Notre Dame? Sometimes it's from, you know, it's academics. Maybe Notre Dame's not able to offer from academics. But guys, sometimes just because Notre Dame just doesn't think he's a very good player, other schools might. But again, it's subjective, right? J.J. Watt was ranked a zero or a two-star.
Wow.
And he had one offer or two offers coming out of high school. And look how good he was in college and then in the NFL. People saw him and they didn't think he was good. Like their projections for what he would be at the next level were off. Like it's not a science as much as people would like to think. Okay.
Oh, real quick, Mike, put up Eugene's up there. He's the one that just with Max Emfinger. Yeah, exactly. Max, I think he's the one that had the Louisiana one. Alan Wallace, was he Texas? He was a big name. I remember getting Joe Terranova, you know, like things in the mail back then would break down. And the Sporting News, every year the Sporting News would have their summer yearbook and they would put the top 300 guys on the board and whatnot. And you would see them all. That's the way it was done back then. And now it's these four services. And like you said, Mike, it's all four guys. I mean, these guys, they all don't get together in a room and say, hey, who's your top 25?
Yeah, it's
each group breaking them down to what they see and roll from there. And you have fun with it. It's a fun thing to look at. It's what it is.
It's fun, but then it makes my hair, you know, I'm starting to get some grays, Tim. And Eugene, I am very glad to see you in the YouTube chat, my friend, live with us. Appreciate you and your friendship. Yes, Gene. Yeah, gotcha. All right. Okay. This comment, like, yeah, I know. I was just kind of using Chicago just kind of as a general example. Yeah, Notre Dame's after Justin Scott, obviously, Chris Burgess, Gabe Kaminsky. So, yeah, for sure. Domer Wap says, Tim, I respect your view of Al Golden hustling, but I'm forced to wonder why has the D side been falling so short in recruiting, but results don't seem to commensurate his why can't I say that word? His effort. I'm going to get made fun of. Tim, thoughts?
Yeah. I feel like I'm falling in the Mike Singer camp here for about 30 seconds.
What do you mean?
It's sometimes you can only get who you could get, right? I mean, as you like to kind of say in a way, you're like, you know, you look at the defensive recruiting, all right? There's a ton of guys that they've offered in the top 100 and whatnot. They just haven't had any traction. If we're going to be honest, they just haven't had any traction. If you look at the safeties, the linebackers, a lot of deep South guys, they just haven't had any traction on. That's so they've gone out and, you know, if you want to call Bodie Cahoon, Rezac, even the nose guard, Big Sean out of Florida, a lot of these diamonds in the rough, so to speak, if you want to go there with the rankings and whatnot. So they, I don't want to be negative and use the word strike out, but they just haven't had traction with a lot of the big, I'm thinking more, front seven guys and whatnot. So I don't think it's a lack of effort. I think they're working their tails off, and I think it's a, maybe not a numbers game. I mean, there are some guys that have shown interest in Notre Dame. I'm a big fan of Brian Huff, the kid out of Arkansas. Notre Dame's like, we kind of like the guys we have, and you may not fit to where we are. And even though you're ranked 400 spots higher than so-and-so, we're going to go with these guys. I think that's what this class is, at least on defense, is falling in that, but if they flip Beasley, if they get Asa out of St. John Bosco and Elijah Rushing, it's a big time class.
I guess
I don't know. It's an interesting group on D, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I haven't really noticed. Like, I also haven't dug through it to be like, all right, where exactly are the rankings or like just the caliber of players Notre Dame's getting on defense? Mm-hmm. But to me, it's kind of just been status quo. I don't think it's improved much from recent years when Golden's been here, or really dropped off. I mean, the linebacker class last year I thought was darn good. I mean, was the defensive back class last year? Mike Bell.
Minich.
Christian Gray.
Gray's an elite corner. So, see, and that's the other thing I'm trying not to get too excited or too, nervous about, because there are still some guys that haven't even visited yet that they're still on, and they're going to keep recruiting and roll from there. So it's still a work in progress. And I think they've gone out and they've kind of gone out and gotten the guys they know they could get. I think that's what I'm kind of trying to say. They know they could get these guys, and they went out and got them.
Yeah,
and
Don Shuler. I think Shuler was committed to Notre Dame before Golden was there. But, I don't know. I think the defensive recruiting has been fine. I don't think it's been, amazing. But, all right, B Place drops at $20. And I'm pretty sure I saw a YouTube comment from this guy saying that Singer looks like a guy that you can that you just want to drink some Jameson with. I screenshotted that and sent it to my buddies, and they were like, that's the best compliment that you could get. And I was like, hell yes. So I appreciate this. We says, drops a very generous $20 and says, we have to finish strong on the defensive recruiting this year. Still big names out there for us. I have a good feeling we are going to pull it off. Would you agree that the Marcus Freeman era has better recruiting vibes? Okay. I talked about this, Tim, and I don't remember if it was the Prescott video or the Young video where I was like, or maybe it was on our show last week. You just look at the recruiting. It just feels like they are stacking so much talent on top of talent. Like, there's not as many guys you feel like are just total flyers, like an Alexander Ahrensberger.
Yeah.
Remember back in the 2020 class. Like, I feel like there was a lot more flyers. Now, when you even look at the three-star guys, Carson Hobbs being one of them, flipped them from South Carolina. Teddy Rezac, the whole thing was, well, he doesn't have a Nebraska offer. Yeah. Well, Nebraska ended up offering him.
Yeah.
You know, so like Cole Mullins, three-star guy with an offer from USC. I just feel like even the lower ranked guys have like a lot of quality to them. Or like Tim likes to say, where do you come from? Carson Hobbs, Cincinnati Catholic League, Cole Mullins, Atlanta. I also want to mention, right? We can all say that the Brian Kelly era, and B Place again, really appreciate this, the super chat. The Brian Kelly era was really good for like the 2000s weren't that great. Things turned around under Brian Kelly, right? Mm-hmm. One time did he sign back-to-back top 10 classes. Once, 2013-14. Marcus Freeman, we're going to give him credit for the 2022 class, right? Or a lot of credit, right? He's the DC, signed a damn good defensive class, and then he became head coach, kept that class together, right? Top 10 class in 2022, number 6. 2023, the number 10 class. So right there, he's done something that Kelly's only done once. He did once at Notre Dame. And he's probably going to be at a top 10 class again this year.
Yes.
Kelly never – back to back to back, your first three recruiting classes, it's this. And again, I know rankings, I always like to tell you guys, it's just one data point. It's not the whole picture. I'm not like, will Marcus Freeman have as much success as Brian Kelly did at Notre Dame? That's to be determined. But just from that data point, there's still a lot of reason to be excited about Notre Dame recruiting.
Yeah, and I'll say off of that is, you know, I've actually gone, you know, I'm starting to look at, you know, say the top 50, top 100. I'm just looking at, all right, NFL draft, which is basically, what, 255 players. You know, so I just started looking at numbers there, Mike. And Notre Dame, the last 2 years, have signed 13 in the top 255 the last 2 years. 13 players. Under the Brian Kelly only did that one time, and that was the great 2013 class where he signed 16 of them. So that shows you right there, back-to-back classes. And this year, if they close strong, they're going to be double digits more than likely in that stat right there. Once again, it's just a data point, just a stat, looking at things, not like because people are going to come back, oh, they didn't get, you know, 38 five stars. You know, I get it. They didn't get everyone in the top 50. I get it, you know. But when you're stacking players still, it's still a collection of them, and they're getting a lot of these guys. And the rankings, you know, we're talking here, it is in June. And, you know, Mike, they're going to have, what, 3 or 4 more updates. There's going to be so many more updates that are going to come and go. So just got to keep working. I think, yeah, I saw the gentleman thought it was a gotcha question. No, I don't think it's a gotcha question. It's an interesting one because I think some, you know, just this take a step back. I think, once again, the expectations, the excitement when Marcus Freeman came aboard was he was going to go get the Sammy Browns. I'm just using him because he committed to Clemson. He was going to go in and get these, you know, a bunch of these freakazoids and stuff like that. And he is in certain spots, and they are getting a high quality group of football players these last few years. So just got to keep being positive. And you're already breaking down, you and Kyle Kelly online already breaking down to 2025, and the amount of interest in 2025 is bigger, I feel, than these first 2 years with Freeman. So it is. It's a machine that is working. I think they're starting to really get a big groove here.
Yeah. Appreciate all the comments. This has been a fantastic show. Really, really have enjoyed this one. A couple comments real quick. Jay Carr says, no buying Taco Bell with Super Chat and Michael. I can't guarantee that I will not do that. I haven't had Taco Bell in a long time, if you guys can believe it. I think it was actually Saturday for lunch. That's what I left my house early. Stopped at Taco Bell before going to the airport. I was like, I will leave here early so I can go get Taco Bell. And my wife won't shame me until she sees, you know, that on the balance account. But
yeah, I was going to say, you and Taco Bell, just real quick, man. I don't think I've been to a Taco Bell in 10, 12 years. So. Man. That's me. I grew up in California. Right, how about this? How about real Mexican food? And that's what we're going to get.
Notre Dame lands a commitment from Gerby Lambert. Then ass will fly up to Boston. And
there's
I'm gonna pick you up. We'll go to Taco Bell. We'll go to Catholic Memorial's game.
Oh man!
And that'll be a fantastic time. Does that sound good?
Yeah. Let's do that. Oh yeah, that'd be great. Get some chicken soft tacos and we'll roll. They gotta have chicken soft tacos. Like I said, I haven't
I think you can customize it, make it happen, but their menu is taking it's changed a lot since you've been there. William says, forget the rankings, Mike. Again, follow the offers data point, offers. Film. But thing about offers is there was a kid back when I was covering USF, my first class would have been 2014. Kid was ranked as a top 100 player, had offers from everyone, and then he just kind of fell off. Like, I don't know if it was a grades thing or he just didn't have a really good junior season. And he ended up at USF. And he had the elite offer list, right? I mean, but there's context there. Like, so there's all sorts of different data points. The film, obviously, a very important thing. Character, grades, all data points.
So let me say something on the offers is I like the offers, but the flip side, Mike, is – you know, Notre Dame's got some Georgia guys, correct? So yes. They got some Georgia guys without big SEC offers. So are those the guys Notre Dame can get out of Georgia? You know what I mean? I'm trying to say here, instead of trying to go head to head with Bama, Florida, Georgia.
Jaden Thomas, Deion Colsey.
And
those happen too, you know?
No, I know, but they haven't happened the last few years, have they? That's the other side. So
yeah.
Yeah, that, you know, that's all. And I think those things will come. Obviously, that was the tail end of Brian Kelly, who had been there for a decade plus. Freeman's only been there one season. So,
yeah,
but that's just, I'm just saying the flip side when people talk about offers.
Okay, if you follow the offer, appreciate the five, Andrew Gilmore, big fan of the show. If you follow the offers, don't you like our competition for rushing better than Sky? I mean, I think when we're talking about offers, we're more about evaluating the player, right? If Nick Saban offered this guy and really wants him, then that's a very poor data point. But in terms of this, so I think what, unless I'm misunderstanding this, now we're talking about the schools that the kid likes, because, you know, the kid can have offers from everywhere, but then he likes UTSA. Kedron Young had offers from all these big time schools. He used one of his officials on UTSA.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think at that point, the kid can go wherever he goes.
Yeah, and with Russian being obviously, you know, West, you know, he's in Tucson. That is not West Coast. That is the desert times 10. But what is it? It's Oregon, pretty much, right? It's Oregon.
He likes Arizona, though. He does like Arizona a lot.
Exactly, and that's once again staying local, staying home. You know, new coaching staff. I think that coach has only been there a year, and they're probably selling him like crazy. And stay home, all that good stuff. So yeah, I mean, without a doubt, I know he's got Rocky Top coming up here, you know, and that staff works hard. And then Oregon, you know, it's been constantly mentioned Oregon. So
yeah,
this will be interesting.
With Kedron Young's recruitment and talking to sources going into his official visit last weekend, no expectations. My people, like people I talk to, like, we would love to have him, but we have no idea how this one's going to go. And I say this all the time, Tim, Notre Dame's one of those places that if you get them on the visit, you, anything can happen, because Notre Dame is one damn special place.
I was going to say real quick, because the article before he visited was everybody in Texas A&M. Thought he was going to A&M.
Yeah.
Everyone thought he was going to A&M on Friday. So,
yeah. So, like, you get them to Notre Dame. So, I said that with rushing, it's the same kind of vibe. And also for Bradley Shaw, and I will talk a lot more about these recruits officially visiting this weekend in our Friday afternoon live show, which I need to make sure Trey Yannity is available for Friday afternoon show. If not, I'm just gonna go solo. Unless, Tim, are you working Friday afternoon?
And I need a day off. So maybe I'll take a day off and we'll just, talk about recruiting. But Bradley Shaw is an interesting
one. Wait, you're going to take a day off to work with me, you're saying?
I need a day off from work, so I think I might do that. You know.
All right, I'll have my people talk to your people.
I like that idea.
But I think rushing Shaw, like some of these guys, Carter Nelson, just getting
a top 150 ish guy who's got every SEC offer in the conference. To come up to South Bend in June for an official visit is huge. I mean, seriously, that's huge. That was shocking. When I saw that article come out on Blue and Gold, like he was visiting, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
So, but going back to the, you know, when he visited during the spring, he loved it. He was like, this is a different spot. So fingers crossed.
So Andrew says, I think we can beat out those schools. But I mean, the thing is, you know, it's like in a game of football, Notre Dame can beat a school 45-14. They have won, right? They have won. Notre Dame can recruit Elijah Rushing better than Oregon and Arizona and all these schools. Like, they could just work a lot harder, show them a lot more love. But it's not in Notre Dame's hands at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how that goes.
Yeah.
That's going to be the real quick. Do we know how Tay's visit went? Tay Johnson from Fort Wayne Northside. Actually, I mean, if you go to blueandgold.com, which I always like to tell people, hey, this, we give a lot of information on YouTube and podcast, but the website, if you want a lot more on Notre Dame football and recruiting, this player pictured here is Nate Roberts, a 2025 tight end who Tim loves. But in the article, I broke down Tay Johnson's visit. I want to say in an article yesterday, I did updates here too during his visit. Sure. So a lot on Tay Johnson at blueandgold.com, and the deal is $1 for 3 months or $49.99 for a year. Okay. To wrap up the show, Tim, want to go through the four uncommitted official visitors that we have confirmed. And again, I will break down their recruitments a lot more in our show Friday. But just general thoughts on each guy heading into the visit. We'll start with El Campo, Texas safety, Oliver Miles.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I forgot all about him because been following the other guys. I really like Paul Mankey. I think he's super athletic. And when you, in your quote, which is constant when you talk about Miles, is Notre Dame staff loves this guy.
Yeah, they do.
His film, we get in his film down the road. Hopefully he commits. Man, we can talk about him forever. He is crazy fast. Plays quarterback 90%. He reminded me instantly of Isaiah Canyon, who's playing quarterback and playing all the positions but wide receiver. Same with Miles. He's playing on offense. You see him a little bit on D. I had no idea this guy's that fast. I would love to see some of his track times because he is crazy fast with the ball in his hand. So they want to put him at safety. You got Tay Johnson, who you watch Tay Johnson's film. It's all wide receiver, but they've seen these great athletes to put on the back end. So, man, if Notre Dame could close with these guys athletically, that's huge at safety for Notre Dame down the road. Just athlete speed wise, he's crazy with the ball in his hands.
Those long legs look like he looks like a receiver, and here he is.
Oh man,
scoring touchdowns at quarterback.
People need to go watch him. He is fun to watch run.
Carter Nelson, Ainsworth, Nebraska. Tim, if you want to talk about 2024 tight end recruiting, you got Jack Larson committed and then Carter Nelson. And then I don't know after that.
Yeah, exactly. It's either going to be those two and then you save the spots for next year. But I want to hear Mike Goolsby talk about him, you know, when he gets on next, and hopefully he's a Notre Dame commit down the road. But athlete, once again, these, you know, everyone talks about tight end, and I'm like, man, if Notre Dame's got a log jam, put this dude at D end. He is crazy. He has no fear, fast as could be. His basketball, I want to see him and Eli Raritan go one-on-one in basketball. I think that will be fun because he's a heck of a basketball player. So I read earlier, you know, he just visited Georgia. Obviously, he's, you know, sky high Georgia he loves and stuff like that, but he's going to be at Notre Dame. He's been at Notre Dame before, and great athlete. I've always felt it's Nebraska because I'm like, how's Matt Rhule going to let this guy leave the state? So if someone gets him away from Matt Rhule, congratulations to that coaching staff.
Yeah. Be pretty cool to have Notre Dame have two guys in Nebraska in the same recruiting class. I'm sure Mike Goolsby, our resident native of that.
Yes.
Well, not native, obviously. He's from Chicago, but from that
Omaha. He
currently lives there. All right, this is my favorite super chat. Guys, I'm going to put for YouTube this the solo on Tim Hyde. This man's hair is seriously impeccable. Gene says, drops $20, so he's basically paying for a haircut for you, Tim.
Oh, I love
your barber, and things can only go up. So,
I tell you what, I always say all the time, I love my dad. He passed away a year ago, and he left me unbelievable jeans with hair. Thank you, Dad.
Yeah. And, Tim Hyde, awesome person. Handsome guy, great head of hair. Man, when I grow up, I want to be just like Tim Hyde. That'd be fantastic. Elijah Rushing, 5-star defensive end, the Keon Keeley clone. How big would this one be for the Irish if they're able to get him committed?
As I said 30 minutes ago, I want to see Marcus Freeman get some of these guys. You know, this is huge. I mean, seriously, it's huge. You know, Jagasaw was top 50. Sneed, he had the massive connection with the coach and whatnot. This would be old school recruiting. You're going into the I'm telling you, if no one's ever been to Tucson, it's about 175 degrees all year round. It is hot. It is the middle of nowhere, Arizona, and great high school football, South Point Catholic. I coached in that stadium. Great atmosphere, great program. So yeah, they'll be getting we talk about all these guys they sign. We're not talking a lot about ready to go guys. We're talking about, we'll see this guy in 3 years. Let's see him redshirt. You get an Elijah Rushing, he's going to play. They will get him on the field as a freshman. So this is a guy who could definitely come in and play right away. When I say play right away, I'm not saying start, and I'm just saying we're going to see him on the field next year.
All right. I guess people are saying that Gene's comment was actually a roast of Tim. Tip your barber. Think If that's the case, you're silly, and I don't want to see you around these parts anymore. Because Tim has the best head of hair I've ever seen in my life.
I guess I need a haircut. Sorry, buddy.
Tim, you look fantastic, man.
Oh man.
Andrew says, Mike, it was good to see you on location at Notre Dame. Did you hit up Brothers for a beer? I mean, I'm in and out, man. I was just happy that I got to go work in the library for a bit, you know. I don't get to do a whole lot. I mean, these chips are boom, 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 you know, for me. And I'm tall and Kyle is a little bit short, but so it was pretty cool. Kyle and I got to do a video talking about
I haven't seen that. What am I going to expect? Like, is there a stool? Last time I saw Kyle, I mean, as we joked, he was in the cave with the video with you. I was like, God, turn a light on, buddy. It's like,
hey, you looked pretty dark in your show last week.
I know. That's why I told my mother-in-law. I was like, we got to get some lights on in this room. Right. We got to upgrade.
I don't remember if I told you. We're going to get you a ring light for your laptop.
There you go.
I will get you that shipped out soon. Okay. Last but certainly not least, a 4-star linebacker from Alabama with an Alabama Auburn offer. This would be one of the biggest recruiting upsets of the century. But I've met this kid in person. No nonsense. Really smart. I mean, this seems like a kid that could be like, nah, I want to leave my home state. Like, I love Notre Dame. Like, I could see it.
Yeah.
But also, that would be a crazy recruiting upset.
Oh, it's huge. I mean, you can't even. There's not a lot of words. It'd be huge, and it would once again go to Freeman pulling an upset, getting some of these guys, Notre Dame getting some of those guys. You know, we talk all the time. You know, these SEC schools, they don't want their guys leaving their home state to go to Notre Dame because then they're going to come back and say, "Man, South Bend's awesome. I love the campus. I love the coaches." And then you get that cycle going. So I am hoping Justin Tuck falls on campus this weekend from his Goldman Sachs job. I think he's at Goldman Sachs, right? And he just happens to, fellow Alabama young lad talking to Bradley Shaw. That would be awesome. But it'd be huge. Because, Mike, just look at the RPM again. So yeah. It's like, when was last time Notre Dame beat a guy with Alabama was number one going into a visit? So. Kudos to the staff for getting him up there, and kudos to Bradley Shaw for taking a hard look at Notre Dame. So very exciting.
All right, so that's the 4 official visitors. Thursday afternoon, I'll have a visitor preview article. There's a bunch of commits on campus. It's a pretty big visitor list, but just as of now, at least the 4 uncommitted official visitors. Friday show where I will talk recruiting by myself or with Trey Annity or maybe even Tim, if our people can connect and make that happen. I think that'd be a lot of fun. We'll get Goolsby back on soon. June is a fun time at blueandgold.com. So make sure to head over to the website and check things out. Again, our current offer that we have going on is $1 for 3 months or $40.99 for the year. Tim, fun show tonight, my friend.
Yeah, a lot of good talking tonight for June, and we're a few months away from game one. So yeah, thanks for everyone showing up tonight. It was a nice little first week of June. So thank you so much.
Yeah, been a great show. I'm Mike Singer. I'm going to sign off Tim Hyde and his beautiful hair. And that's a wrap for this week's show. Appreciate you all, and we will catch you next time.